Today we are going to be looking at a subject that is important. It's critical to every woman. I know this. I believe this with all my heart because women suffer depression at a higher rate today than I believe they ever have. How many of you would say, I think that could very well be true? And as I have observed this through the 33 plus 35 years that I've been ministering to women, it finally occurred to me one day as I was studying the scriptures and as I was praying, and I was like, Lord, what is going on? And he just so ministered to my heart that as the time of Christ reappearing nears, we are told in the scriptures that the activity of Satan will increase. And ladies, I believe that just a whole lot of what we see going on in the world today is due to that increased activity of Satan. When I was growing up, we didn't have to worry about turning the station and seeing some masochistic sex scene or horrible slang on TV. I mean, how many of you could say, I agree? And our children today are being raised where they have so much more darkness and evil and all of the vampires and all of the things that are going on in our world today. There is just a heaviness, there is a darkness, and there is an increase in the kinds of things like pornography and child abuse and just all kinds of problems. In our day, when we were growing up, we didn't have students at school murdering their teachers. We didn't have children murdering their parents like we see so often. We didn't see the horrible instances of what parents do to their children. Do you agree? So I believe that we are seeing an increase in the activity of Satan, and that is darkness. That is evil. That is the Ephesians 6 that we studied about, the world powers, the forces of evil, the principalities. There is an increase in that activity. And it is no wonder that you and I, as believers and children of light, do not recognize and sense and feel that oppressiveness going on in our homes, in our families, in our society. So I don't think it is so much a matter, if you're sitting out here today and you deal with depression, I don't think it's so much of a matter that you ought to sit there and say to yourself, what's wrong with me as a Christian? Why do I feel this heaviness so often? I think it's a normal thing that you and I are going to feel some heaviness, that we are going to feel some weight, that we are going to struggle against some of that darkness in our own life. But here is the good news. And this is the message that I hope that we will hear and absorb today, is we will feel just what an unbeliever will not feel in the sense of darkness. We may sense it even more because we are children of light. We may recognize the oppressiveness even more. But what we have that an unbeliever does not have is we have been given means and tools and an empowerment by which to stand against it, recognize it, and know how to deal with it. So I believe today that what God is wanting us to do and Christ is allowing us to do is to sharpen our skills, hone in today. So I would like to just ask you, would you hone in here with me today on some equipping skills and tools that you and I can use as women as we walk through this journey called life? We're going to look at how God has given us something, and that is a destiny. And I want you just to look at your listening guide and read along with me before we jump into Hannah's life and look how she handled discouragement. Our topic today is, do we walk around with a doomsday discouragement countenance? Or do we choose and take the actions required in order to delight in our destiny? And what we see today is that God has given us, if you look at 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 through 10, and just read it with me, our scripture verse for today, God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Now those words, whether we are awake or asleep, means whether we are dead or alive. And so we see here in this scripture that we have some destiny choices, and I've written them for you on your listening guide because I am including a little bit more writing on our listening guide because I want to give you the opportunity not just to hear me, but I want you to also be able to see it and read it and take it home and ponder it and meditate on it, as we said, so we can include all of our senses and really try to get the things that we're talking about and learning into our minds, into our memory. We see two destiny choices. And the first choice is, how am I going to respond to God regarding my eternal destiny? How am I going to respond to God regarding my eternal destiny? And that is mainly an invitation. That is a question to you. Have you ever responded to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, yes, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I'm in need of a Savior. And I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I bow my knee, I bow my heart, I bow my mind before you, and I confess Jesus is Lord. Father, will you forgive me? Will you grant me the gift of your Holy Spirit? Will you take me to your eternal home when I die? And that is you making a decision. That is you responding to the gift of salvation that God has already given you in Christ Jesus. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not what? But would have what? Everlasting life. So have you made that choice regarding your eternal destiny? Because we see here in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, God has not destined anyone for wrath. He has not destined you for wrath. He hasn't. That is not what he wants. He has destined you to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you. So that whether you're alive or whether you're deceased, you will live together with the Lord. Would you say those words with me? Live together with him. Live together with the Lord. That is God's idea. That is his plan for you and me, that we live together with him. Now, this is a life-changing philosophy and understanding. And we really have to put on our spiritual hats today to understand this. If you grasp this, like God has helped me grasp this, your life will be changed. It will be changed because you will become aware in whatever circumstance you are facing. Your husband walks out the door and leaves you. He passes away. Your child slams the door and calls you horrible names. Whatever it may be, you're caring for an elderly loved one. Whatever it may be, when you grasp in your mind and you develop a new memory, a new thought, like we talked about a few weeks ago, and you really ponder this and you think on it and you learn it and you study it and you read the scriptures and you reread them and you apply it to how it applies to you. If you will grasp the thought that you are living together with Jesus this moment, you are living together with Jesus in your darkest hour. You are living together with him. That is what God has destined. That is my destiny. I am never alone. I am never alone. It is not a sentiment when Jesus says, I will be with you always, even to the ends of the earth. That is not a sentiment. That is a profound promise that, ladies, we must get our minds and our hearts around. And when we do, it changes everything. It changes everything. Our second destiny choice that we need to consider is, how am I going to respond to God today? Because in this verse, he refers to whether we're asleep or alive. So alive is today. And so this question is, how am I going to respond to God today? Will I, and this is a question for me, is it a question for you? Will I fret? Will I complain? Will I wring my hands? Or will I choose? And this is what you have. God's just laying it out on a silver platter for you right here. Or will I choose to experience Jesus in my moments? In my moments. Yes, I understand God is with me. You know what I mean? That's just so big, isn't it? God is just with me. It's sort of like, oof. Did y'all ever hear that story about how the little boy and his friend were walking to school, and one of the little boys said, "Why do those people always follow us every week to school?" Now, the little boy did not know that his mother had been worried about him walking to school by himself, and so she had asked a neighbor if the neighbor would just let the little one go ahead and think he was walking to school by himself, but that she would walk a few paces behind just to keep an eye on him for her during those first few days. And so this little boy has no idea that the mom has asked the neighbor to do this, and so he's walking along with his little lunchbox and going to his first days of school. And that's when the little boy says, "Why are those people always following us?" And the first little boy said, "Oh, that's just mercy and grace and mercy." And he looked at him and he said, "Yes, my mama prays every night that grace and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." God wants us to know, ladies, in a way that we've never been able to capture before, how much it is His destiny. God has not destined us for some things. He has destined us for God to live, for Christ to live together with us in our moments. And we see some destiny facts. I want you to follow along here. And that is, each person has an eternal destiny and a present destiny. Write that word down and latch onto it with your whole heart. This is your moment. This is your moment. This is my moment. How I handle what's going on in my life right now. Last Wednesday, when I got home from Bible study, and I had more to do than I knew that I could possibly do before I came back here to be with you, that was my moment. It is your moment. This is your destiny. And I think that sometimes we can have an attitude of an elusiveness. We can have an attitude of elusiveness. Have you ever done that? Have you ever sat and just thought, okay, when I get this and this and this and this done, whew, then I'll be. How many of you have ever said that to yourselves? It's this elusive. When we ever get there, and we get there, and then it's like, oh my, when I ever get there, and then we get there, and it's like, oh my, and then when do we ever get there? Ladies, this is my destiny. Would you just say that? This is my destiny. This moment, right where you sit, right where you are with whatever ache, ailment, pain, ornery husband, wonderful child, terrible child, this is our destiny, this very single moment. We see our second point, something about our eternal destiny. And this is just kind of a bonus. We didn't have to know it, but God tells us, my eternal destiny is to be with a prince. It is. My eternal destiny is to be with a prince who rides a white horse. It is. He loves me and has overcome evil with good. He has more riches than I can imagine and exudes joy and peace. He laid down his life for me, and he has invited me to join him. I'm on my way to his kingdom. Do you know what I'm talking about? Amen. That is your story too. If you're a believer, that is your eternal destiny. I want you to look at Revelation, because it tells us this, and we, as much as we need to live in our present, we also need to know where we're headed. I travel a lot. I'm leaving this weekend and going to North Phoenix Baptist Church to minister to 500 women there through a pray conference, and I'm excited about it. I can't wait, but I pack my bags a lot. And as I contemplate my eternal destiny, I should have brought my suitcase up here. This is the picture. I am on my way to the kingdom of God. I am. I'm on my way. And it would just be so much more pleasing to the Lord and so much more glorifying to Him if on my way I was not griping and complaining about the daily stuff. Amen. Amen. You just might need to draw yourself a little suitcase beside that point number two. I want you to read this every time you start to get discouraged. You're en route friend, you are en route to a kingdom of somebody who loves you, who died for you, and he rides a white horse, and he's a prince. And I just think so many times the fairy tales and all of that that little girls grow up with, and that then we compare our hairy-chested men next in the, to the bed to us too, or in the piles of load, and we think, this isn't what I had in my mind. This wasn't my plan A. Revelation 19 is your plan A, and it's going to happen. So we're learning how to navigate through plan B, but that B has that plus, that cross in there to help us. Revelation 19:11, John says, I saw heaven opened, and behold a what color horse? A white horse. The good guy's always on the white horse. And he who sat on it is called faithful and true. Have any of you ever had a husband that was not faithful? You have one right here. And I don't think it's a mistake that our bridegroom is described as faithful and true. And in righteousness, he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, her eyes dance, or she's got so much light? Gosh, his eyes, we're just going to be staring at him like this, just staring at our bridegroom when we see him. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of Life. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of King and Lord of Lords. I want you to turn over to chapter 22 and read one other verse with me as we look at him. And as we see, ladies, some of you may shy back from reading Revelation, but don't, because look at what Revelation 22 verse 7 says. I am coming quickly. And what that means is that when he starts the process of coming, it's going to happen fast. That's what that means. When he starts it, every eye will see him, and every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. But this verse 7 says, blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. And I don't believe he's just talking about Revelation. He is also talking about this whole thing. And so blessed are you and I when we heed this. Now, this is exciting. This is exciting because some of us are in that place where we're like the little kids in the back seat, and we're saying, how much further, how much longer? I want to get to the kingdom with the prince on the white horse. I want to get there. And it is not a fairy tale. It is the truth. That we see this third point is, my present destiny is my prince with me now here on earth. Now, ladies, this is an important concept for us to get. We are headed to the kingdom of God. And we are given that visual that he is a king, he is a prince. And it is a kingdom. And you just read in Revelation and you'll see what that beautiful kingdom looks like. But in the meantime, he is on earth with me. I will one day be with him. But right now, God has chosen through the imagination of his creativity to allow his presence to reside with me while I'm on the way to the kingdom. We have got to grasp that concept. I can't wait to be with Jesus. Amen? God has sent him through the person of the Holy Spirit to travel me home, to escort me. Would you just say, God's escorting me home? My prince is escorting me home. This is something we must understand. Colossians 1:27, turn to that verse. And I know we're not in Samuel yet, but I just want us to understand some things before we get there to her. In a few weeks, I'm going to be teaching at a conference in at Denton Bible Church on if God's in control, why I'm a basket case, based on one of my Bible studies. And I was spent a couple of days this last week preparing that that conference, that three-hour conference, and it's based on Colossians. And I was reminded that, yes, this is the very thing I'd already prepared for our time together. It's an incredible verse to keep our minds focused on, to absorb, to take home with you. And that is, Paul is writing and he says, to whom God will to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Now, that's just a whole lot of words saying there's this huge mystery that God had that nobody knew about, but now he's made it known to us. And he says, the mystery is Christ in you. Read those words. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Just say, Christ is in me.
Christ is in me.
How? Through the Holy Spirit, through Christ's Spirit. Christ is in me. That changes everything. It changes every detail of your life. It changes everything. Say it with me again. Christ is in me. Christ is in me. Christ is in me. It changes everything. And so we look at this and we say, okay, I not only have a future destiny, but I have a present destiny. And my present destiny is to live life with the knowledge and the awareness and the empowerment of Christ in me. I want to just give you a tiny example of how this plays out and how wonderfully it plays out. I shared with you that last Wednesday, I went home and I thought, I'm not sure how I'm going to handle this week. And the reason is because I got home about 3 o'clock after teaching and being at my ministry's office. And I had until 5 o'clock to get an article written for our faith column in the newspaper. It was due Wednesday. Always before, I've had that article in by Wednesday morning, but due to other conflicts of commitments, I had not been able to. I normally just have ideas flowing through my head of ideas of things to write for the faith article. I went home at 3 o'clock. I sat down at my computer and my mind, ladies, I have got to tell you, it was just blank as a white page. It was like I didn't have a brain. It was like there was no thought there. And I'm thinking, I have 2 hours that I need to get this article in, and I did not have one thought. I was just glazed over. But the thing that I want to emphasize is that God reminded me, you're not writing this article. I am with you. I am in you. Let's do this thing. Let's do this thing, Debbie. And so as I prayed, God gave me the article. May not have been the best article in the whole world, but he gave me the article, and this got done. Now, one reason that I was a little bit concerned about even getting that article written was because I also knew that during the few days since I was with you last, I had to complete developing the new conference that I'm doing for Denton Bible Church, which is this. And so as I looked at that next commitment, because the lady wanted it by Monday, I was thinking, okay, now how am I going to get that done? Because I also knew everything else that had to be done. And I was thinking, okay, I can just shoot out this handout. I can just do this. And God was like, no, Debbie, we are not shooting out a quick handout. We are developing a new conference that is extremely important for you to take not only to this church, but that you'll be taking throughout the United States. We are not sitting down and just shooting out some questions to satisfy this women's ministry leader. We're developing a new conference. It was so precious. I was like, oh, Jesus, good. Oh, Lord, thank you. Christ in my moment. Jesus in my moment. Jesus in those hours of destiny, do you see how that changed everything? It wasn't me doing something. It's Christ in me and what he wants to accomplish. Now, one reason, as I said, that I was kind of already knew that this was going to be a challenging week was because normally I don't teach. I haven't taught here in the last couple of years, as you all know, because I'm taking the Pray with Passion conference throughout the United States. I'm booked in 3 places in March, and in April it just continues through May. It's a crazy ministry weekend type deal that I have going on, so I have not been teaching here on a regular basis. But as Kathy and I talked and prayed about it, we felt like, yes, I was supposed to be doing this. So it was already going to be a challenge to be here and be prepared as much as I wanted to, but to also be doing what I knew I would be doing, for instance, this weekend, hopping on a plane and going and ministering there this weekend and getting back in time to jump in and get prepared for our week again. But on top of that, I had told my daughter that I would babysit her 14-month-old during the month of February when they went away for 5 days, and she wasn't sure of the dates. And I said, Lauren, I don't feel like I should book a conference if I'm going to be babysitting. And I was already thinking, can I babysit and also prepare to teach and leave the baby and go teach? And how can all that happen? But I'd already told her that I would do that. Of course, Lauren left this morning at 5:30 a.m. And Logan is at our house, and my sweet husband came home and he said, what time will you be home? And so I knew last Wednesday when I went home that I had to have everything prepared, that I would be doing no preparation after they arrived yesterday. But the thing on top of that, that I did not anticipate, is that this manuscript that was due to the publisher December 15th, I had no idea that my publisher would send it to me last Wednesday night after I'd completed the article, before I'd started preparing this and our handout for today, and just the extra things I need to do before I get ready to go to the Pray Conference, that I would receive a 240-page manuscript that I needed to edit word by word by word by word. And he asked if I could have it for him Monday morning. Monday morning, the same morning that the women's ministry leader needed this, the same morning that I just can't even tell you what all was needed. Again, I put this here just as a funny note. And during all that process, my husband walks into my office. This isn't funny, but my husband walks into my, no, I mean, not that. But Keith walks into my office as I'm finishing this and I'm getting the manuscript and I'm trying to work on this. And Keith goes, do you think we should put the dog to sleep? And I'm just like, honey, do we have to decide that right now? So I took Holly to the groomer the next morning so she would get a haircut and look really cute. So we saved Holly's life this week too. Poor thing, she keeps having strokes. We had Valentine's. We had an anniversary. We were out of town Saturday and Sunday for our anniversary of our children. We had Valentine's. We had 2 birthdays. You know what I'm talking about? And Saturday morning, when I woke up and I was working on our preparation, our teaching session for today, I was sitting there and I was thinking, okay, this time next week, I'll be flying home. Y'all following me? And I was getting ready to go see our kids. But I was thinking, okay, when this gets done, I will be on my way home this time. And that's wrong because it's a week off. No, that's true. Yeah, I'll be back next Saturday. I'll be back. I will be back. I don't know when. But anyway, and that is when God just convicted me once again. Debbie, this Saturday morning is your destiny. This Saturday morning is your destiny. Quit thinking about when you get back next Saturday and you've got this all done. This Saturday morning is your destiny. Ladies, I would like to encourage you, as I said, Christ is in our moments. And I just want you to repeat after me the word, Jesus is with me in this moment. After I read, I'm going to read a series of comments common to us. And I just want you to repeat, Jesus is with me in my moment. When I wake during the night,
Jesus is with me in my moment.
When I open my eyes in the morning, when thoughts rush into my mind and I wonder how I'll get everything done,
Jesus is with me in my moment.
When family, work, and other demands overwhelm me,
Jesus is with me in my moment.
When making financial decisions and commitments,
Jesus is with me in my moment.
When dealing with health issues,
Jesus is with me in my moment.
When wondering what the future holds, when wondering how to guide my children or make my marriage or singleness the best possible,
Jesus is with me in my moment.
When doing the wash, folding the clothes, cleaning the kitchen, and tidying the house. When stuck in traffic, waiting in line, doing the shopping, or traveling. When cleaning a child's mess, sitting with a sick loved one, or caring for an aging parent or spouse. When reading a book or watching television. When helping children with homework, driving carpool, watching competitions. When filling out forms, filing taxes, paying bills. When resting, watching the sunrise or set, waiting out a storm. Ladies, we have got to grasp that, don't we? No matter what is going on, Jesus is with us in that moment. And so we look at this and we say, okay, how do I live today? Now that I know this, now that I'm becoming more aware of it, how do I live with a destiny mentality? How do I leave here today and take this home? And I just want you to do a quick countenance questionnaire, but first, read this principle with me. The more aware I am of Jesus' presence in my present destiny, the more I'll enjoy life and experience His peace and joy. I didn't give you much heads up for where that was on your handout. But do you see that? The more aware I am of Jesus' presence with me, the more I'm going to be able to cope with life, enjoy life, and experience His peace and joy. Here is a countenance questionnaire. Would you fill that out very quickly? Just check the boxes that apply. Okay, you started giggling. Y'all need a facelift, right? Everybody needs a facelift. You know, so many times we're worried about this external face, and we're like, if we could just pull back here, you know, and get this facelift. But yes, maybe we need a facelift. And we see that if we do find that we're always longing for something different, we're waiting on someone or something to change in order to make us happy. We let others control our state of mind, our countenance, our joy. We resent someone or something. We forget to worship God in our moments. We're constantly comparing our life to someone else or our children. Then we may need a facelift. We may need a countenance change. And we find that a facelift is something that God wants for us. Look at Hannah's life with me, because she gives us a picture, as did our true testimony from Sandy Toledo, a great woman of God. I know you enjoyed, well, you didn't enjoy her testimony, but how many of you were blessed by her openness and her testimony? Amen? I think, you know, just in case Sandy watches this DVD, let's give her a round of applause. I mean, she is one of us that did it right, right? And we need heroes like that that we can look to, don't we? How many of you are appreciative of being able to look at her genuine struggles and say, wow, she was able to manage and give glory to God? How many of you were encouraged and blessed by that? All right, now, your daughter, children, mother, co-worker is needing you to be the hero in her life. Do we get that? We are needing to be that in someone else's life. Let's look at Hannah, because she gives us great instruction, and we're able to pick up a lot from her. Hannah's name means grace. I think that is just so beautiful. Peninnah's name, the other wife that we'll be learning about, her name means jewel. And as I studied these women's names, I thought it was very interesting, because I wanted Peninnah's name to be something like Pukey. I really did. I thought, oh, Hannah. I looked up her name first. And I was like, oh, this is just perfect. I knew it. A beautiful name. She was a beautiful woman, and her name means grace. And Peninnah, hers is probably going to be something horrid. And I Googled it on my computer, and there she was, Jewel. And I was like, well, that sounds like somebody pretty. And I thought, okay, God immediately flew my mind to 1 Peter 3:2-4. And this is a word for us, ladies. This is a word for us. 1 Peter 3:2-4 says, your adornment must not only be external. It doesn't say we can't adorn ourselves with external adornments. But it says your adornment must not only be merely be external, braiding the hair, wearing gold jewelry, or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart. Oh, just say those words, hidden person of the heart. I am to adorn my heart. Ladies, that's it. That's it. That's what made people attracted to Esther. That, ladies, this is it. Yes, fix your hair, do whatever you need to, put on your earrings, but that is not the goal. The goal is we adorn the hidden person of our heart. That means we let Christ come forth and shine. And so I just see Penina. Penina, as you read this story, we read about how in 1 Samuel 1, how Elkanah was a man. He had two wives. Of course, that we already know. That is plan D. I mean, that's just horrible. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Penina. And we get right here into the problem. We get right here into the problem, the plan B or C of this woman's life. It says, and Penina had children, but Hannah had no children. And in that day and age, it was a disgrace. It was not the same as not being able to have children today. It was truly a disgrace. If you jump on to verse 5, we see that he loved, Elkanah loved Hannah, but the Lord had closed her womb. And in that day and period, people understood, the Jews understood, and their understanding of God and themselves was that all things belong to sovereign God. And so they referred to it and they used the terminology that God had closed her womb. Now, the bottom line is it did not matter how wonderful and sweet and godly and gracious a person Hannah was, nor how much Elkanah loved her. You know what? You can't produce an egg, can you? You can't do it on demand. And the problem, obviously, was not the guy, because he was having babies with Penina. So Hannah is walking around, and we learn that she is one miserable woman. Verse 6, I read this, and I just kind of want to slap Penina silly. Have you ever just said, I just like to slap you silly? Penina. And here we see, verse 6, her rival. This is how the other woman is referred to, her rival. Have you ever had another woman in your life? Not your life, your husband's life. So she was in your life, and she was a rival. Because she was after your man, or she got your man, rival. The Bible is not G-rated, folks. It is not G-rated in any form or fashion. Her rival, however, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her. You have a series of horrible words in there. Provoke, bitterly, on purpose. He would do that to irritate her. I mean, this is a person who doesn't accidentally say something that hurts somebody's feelings. We have that happen all the time, right? This is a scheming, conniving, probably pretty woman on the outside. Got all these kids running around. But she is a scheming, conniving woman. Have you ever known one like that? There's nothing worse. Nothing worse. And I pray to God, none of you in this room are. But if you are, you're in the right place. Okay? You're welcome to come. I mean, we're all sinners here, right? Saved by grace. So, you know, if we see our pages, if we see ourselves identifying with the bad person in the character, we're here. Well, this is a good place. That's just all I can say is, come. If you're a mean person, come. We want you. Your group may have a hard time with you, but we want you here. But look at Hannah. This is pitiful. It happened year after year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her. This woman, Penina, would just intentionally provoke Hannah. She was depressed. Hannah was depressed. It tells us in here that Hannah would weep. She would provoke her, so she would weep. She would not eat. If you keep looking at the scriptures, you're going to see additional things about Hannah. In verse 10, she was greatly distressed. In verse 15, it says, Hannah replied and said, I'm a woman oppressed in spirit. We have one depressed woman here, but we're going to learn some things from her. And the very first thing that we learn is in 1 Samuel 1:9, and that was that she kept worshiping God. When you are down, when you're discouraged, when you're oppressed, do not stay away from church, from Bible study, from other people. Don't let Satan isolate you in a corner of your house or with your head under the covers. Keep worshiping. Keep worshiping individually and corporately. I just want you to step back for just a second and think about how much Hannah had to be mad at God about. Mad at God because she couldn't get pregnant. Mad at God because this other woman was so mean. She could have been mad at God, right? She kept worshiping. Second, keep eating and drinking to be healthy. We see that after here, it says in verse 9 that Hannah did rise and she ate and she drank. Ladies, you're not going to do yourself a favor on your way to the kingdom if you do not take care of your body. Third, follow God's word, not bad behavior. Now, the reason I added that is because the priests at the time were Eli and then his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and they are described as worthless. Worthless. And do you remember in the scriptures once where Jesus was talking about the Pharisees and he said, do as they say, not as they do? You may look around and think, well, I'm just going to quit trying because look at the priests, look at the preachers, look at the look at this Bible teacher that has fallen. No, follow God's word, not people's bad behavior. Fourth, take your distress and bitter weeping to the Lord. In verse 10, it says, she greatly distressed prayed to the Lord. Ladies, don't stuff it. Do not stuff it. Would you just say, I won't stuff it. Take it. Take it to the Lord. It's not going to shock him, surprise him, or overwhelm him. Take it to the Lord. This song that we just sang, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, it is just such a powerful word. And you read about Scriven who wrote this song and has his fiance died the night before that they were to get married. Find God in your moments. Welcome him into your moments. Number 5, we see that she committed her day and her tomorrow to the Lord of hosts. And it says here when she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts. This is a term for the Lord of the kingdoms, the army of the kingdoms, the king of the armies of heaven. It's like she is saying, I know nothing is too big for you. I may feel overwhelmed. I may feel discouraged. I may feel down. But I know who I'm talking to. I know who I'm praying to. I know who I'm pouring out my heart to. Nothing is too big for you. Get that in your mind, ladies, who you're praying to. He put the stars in place. He's preparing a place in heaven. There is another sphere out there. People keep looking and wondering if there's life on earth. Hello. I mean, if there's life beyond earth. Hello? Yes, there's life beyond earth. There is a kingdom. Your loved ones are there. There is life. There is true life. They haven't found the place yet called heaven. It is there. It is not just in our minds. It is a place. And that's who you're praying to. Number 6 is continue praying knowing you're before the Lord. She was very aware that she was praying before the Lord. She was not praying before Eli the priest. It says, now as it came about, as she continued praying before the Lord. Ladies, I'm pointing out these individual points because it's important for you and me to get in our minds. When life happens, when you start to get discouraged, when you start to feel in this doomsday, when you start to get to feel in this heaviness, and you pray, understand, before the Lord. I just love my Lord and Savior so much. In increments of my days, my moments between when I left you last time and here, I would constantly, instead of in my flesh, I want to tell you something. I would have gotten discouraged. I would have gotten depressed. I probably would have yelled at Keith. I probably would have canceled the weekend with the kids. I probably, you know, no telling what. Just the flesh, the mother, the wife, the normal reaction. I can't do all that. Never once. Never once. Never once. Because when I would think, how is this going to happen? It just, the next breath is Jesus. I don't know how many times a day I kneel. I love it. I love it. Before Him, before Him, before Him. He's escorting me home. I will be with Him one day, but right now He is with me. And it is foolish for you not to grasp this concept. He is with you. Talk to Him. Pour out your heart. Remain in His presence. Listen to what He tells you. He wants to accomplish more in you and through you than you ever imagined, as we're told in Ephesians. It's exciting. It's exciting. So continue aware. The seven is very important. Pray from your heart, not rote prayers. I think there are some beautifully written prayers. But ladies, pray from your heart. Pray from your heart. That's what Hannah said she did. She prayed from her heart. We see this in verse 13 because she just continued praying from her heart. It says in verse 13, as for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart. Only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Now look at this. Is this just not a man? He thought she was drunk. I mean, it's just like Elkanah that said, am I not better to you than two sons? I mean, you know, men just cannot get it sometimes, right? Amen to that. We love you, fellas. Oh, good. Chris is gone. We love you. We love you. But a man can't really make me happy and give me the joy. I cannot depend on another person for my joy. Can I? I cannot. I'm married to the most wonderful man in the whole world, except for when I'm mad at him. But he cannot. I cannot depend on him for my joy. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. And so we see here, Eli thinks she's drunk. And so there, I have another point for you. Number 8, don't react to unwarranted accusations. Look at him. Couldn't that have plunged Hannah back down? She's dealing with this other woman, a rival, somebody that's provoking her. She finally shows up at church, and what happens? Have you ever had that happen? You finally show up at church? Have you ever finally shown up at church and somebody said something to you the wrong way? You just nod your heads and let me know. I mean, or hurt your feelings, and you just think, oh, or maybe even accused you of something that was not true, or another Christian accused you of something that was not true. Have you had that happen? This can be life, and that can make you plummet emotionally, right? No. Just don't. Don't respond to those or react in the flesh. Yes, we may have to have conversations, but don't react in the flesh to those unwarranted accusations. Number 9, instead, just keep pouring out your soul to the Lord. Do that rather than get drunk. You know, he thought she was drunk. That means that she could have been drunk, right? She could have been drunk as a woman in that day and time, but she wasn't drunk. She made a choice. And let's just be real honest, girlfriends, okay? We have choices all day long, don't we? Especially at night when you're discouraged or down, or when you're mad, or at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, or I don't know what time, if some of you may start drinking. But, and I'm not saying you do. I'm not saying you do. I'm not saying I do. I'm just saying, let's be real, okay? Maybe I need to rewind. But my point is, we have options for how we handle when life is too hard. Life was too hard for her right here, wasn't it? Do you ever feel like life is too hard? Okay, that's all we're saying. Life can get to be too hard. But Hannah didn't handle it by getting drunk or looking for a quick fix. She stayed there in God's presence, pouring out her heart, even when Eli says, how long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine from you. And Hannah says, no, my Lord. And she says, here's what the problem is. I'm a woman oppressed in spirit. But she knew where she was going, and she knew who she had to talk to on her way to her eternal kingdom. She said, I'm a woman oppressed in spirit. That is the fact. And you may say that, I'm a woman oppressed in spirit, my child just died. I'm a woman oppressed in spirit, my husband just walked out the door. I'm a woman oppressed in spirit. You may say that, it's okay. It is okay. But then she said, I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink. I have poured out my soul before the Lord. That is the model we need, a woman who pours out her soul to the Lord when she is oppressed in spirit. I'm going to very quickly just give you the fill in the blanks for the rest of these. Some of you need to go. Number 11, seek peace and favor with others, but recognize that ultimately only you, are the words, can control your countenance. Only you. Number 12, keep worshiping during the routine of life. Rest in and wait on God's timing. Hannah heard from Eli that he did, you know, that maybe God would grant her the petition that she had asked of him. And then she went on her way, and it says in verse 18, her face was no longer sad. And ladies, I don't have that point down there, but just would you try this? Just try this. After you have taken your oppressed spirit, after you have taken your worries, your schedule, your calendar, whatever is on your heart and your mind that you're discouraged by, your feelings that are flooding you, and you pour them out, you just pour them out like you would pour out this water, and you just pour them out all to the Lord, then leave them there and get up expecting for him to give you some direction, for him to be your husband on the way home, for him to be your traveling partner, whatever it may be. Rest in him and wait on God's timing. Hannah did this. She continued worshiping. She worshiped the next morning. She went back, and she had to wait on God's timing. She had to. She and Elkanah had relations, but we don't know how long before she had Samuel, but she did. It says in verse 20, it came about in due time. Well, some of us may just say, well, due time is past. I was supposed to have already been married by now. Due time is past. He was supposed to have shaped up by now. Due time is past. We don't know what due time is, do we? It's his due time. Okay, would you say it's his due time, not my due time? We got due times going on here, but that due time is the due time that we need to wait till it's due, right? Okay, so we know that. And so we see then, our 13th point, we want to give God credit because she did have this baby, and she gave him credit for that. She named him Samuel, and which means name of God. We see this woman, in our 14th point was she was submissive to Elkanah. We've seen this through her, but she was sensitive to God's leading. When Elk went up the next year to worship, she said, no, I'm not going to go up. Not going this year, honey. Love you. Have a good time. Packed his bags. Said, I'm staying home until he's weaned, and then I'll take him. So you as a woman, and as a married woman, if you are, or in whatever position, yes, our mutual submission is important to one another. But look, she was following God's leadership in her life, and Elkanah recognized that and said, do what seems best. When he was weaned, which would probably have been about 3 years old, she took him. And that is our final point. Live your faith out loud. Rather than live with a doomsday countenance, do well. Keep your commitments to God. Hannah said, if I can have a baby, I will bring him and I will give him to the Lord to be in the Lord's service all the days of his life. When he was 3 years old, she took that baby and put him in the care of the temple under Eli to learn and to grow into being a priest, one of the greatest priests of all the Jewish history. A woman who had been oppressed in spirit, things didn't happen in her timing, how she would have liked them, that lived with somebody day in and day out who provoked her bitterly just to irritate her. She's a mother of one of the greatest prophets ever known, one who we love to read in the Bible. She had a destiny, a present destiny. You have a present destiny. And so I just ask you, would you live out loud? Would you live out loud? As we look at this, just summing up, we see that my destiny is Jesus with me in the moments of my life until I reach my ultimate destiny in heaven. Live out loud. Shed a doomsday countenance by welcoming Jesus' perspective and power into the moments, the minutes of your day. Love out loud. mindful that God has destined Jesus to be with you in your moments. Make eternal investment in people's lives. Ladies, I think this is one of the most important things is I can start to be so self-centered. And God has to remind me, Debbie, I want you to go and do this, and I want you to be this. We're heading to the kingdom. Don't be temporal-minded. Be eternal-minded. God says to me, I can use you when and how and to what extent I want to. And when he reminds me of that, my reply is, yes, Lord, of course. And so we see we want to be available for God to use us even in the gutter of humanity, even with a penina and around discouraging people. God used her even around discouraging people. Penina, elk, the priest. Shine with Christ's grace. And finally, laugh out loud. Just every once in a while, laugh out loud. Delight in Jesus. Enter into his joy. Read the chapter on joy in your books. And say, as Isaiah 61:10 did, I will rejoice greatly in what? My soul will exalt in. Okay. Father, how we do thank you. And how we do praise you, that you give us really practical advice in your word. I mean, Lord, you couldn't get more practical with us than you have today. We can be discouraged. We can feel oppressed in spirit. And we just thank you. We blow you a kiss, Lord, thanking you for the reminder that you are with us. And this minute is my destiny. This minute, this moment, the next moment, I have a destiny. And that is to be very aware that you are with me and to let you live out your life through me. What a privilege. Keep it in every woman's mind this week as she works out what you are working into her. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.